When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hello out there, everyone, and welcome to a special edition of None But the Brave, presented by Evergreen Podcasts. We are live in Tampa, Florida. We're at 8:02 Eastern this evening. Bruce Springsteen and the E Street Band kicked off their first tour in 6 years. I've been waiting a long time to open the show with this question. Flynn, your thoughts on opening night?
It was one of the better opening nights that I've seen. Going back to the beginning of the reunion tour, I've actually been at either the first rehearsal show or the first actual proper show of the tour, and this one may have been the best one. I thought they were on. Bruce was on. The emotion, it was the emotion.
Incredible.
Emotional high points, I think, were what the show was about. Coming on, No Surrender, the crowd singing along, singing the backing vocals, you know, at the beginning of the song. And then the way the crowd was so into Ghost. That hit me hard. And of course, and I was thinking of a friend of mine who we lost a couple years ago, who, you know, Holly, I think people know who Holly is. She passed away from cancer at the end of 2020. And I thought of her during Ghost, and got to say, the tear duct started flowing. And so he hit the emotional high points, and then he continued on with Last Man Standing, and obviously the closer, I'll See You in My Dreams.
It was a tight narrative. It starts with No Surrender. It goes into Ghosts. The story he tells about George Thies before Last Man Standing, that one really hit me. And I just thought his performance in general was off the charts great. I mean, this man is 73 years old now. How the hell is he doing it? The physicality, his voice, everything was just dead on. As you say, we've seen a lot of the opening nights. They've never been this good before. They were ready to go, and the crowd was ready as well. Anyone who had doubts, thinking there were going to be empty seats or people upset about the pricing, none of that was present in the arena. We understand, of course, that there are people out there who still feel that way, but in the building, everyone was flying.
Oh, absolutely. If there were people, I'm not going to mention any names, who were actually seemed to be rooting for Bruce to come out and see empty seats or an unenthusiastic audience. That did not happen. This crowd was in it from note one. I looked around. People were standing during Ghost. And obviously, when they got to Born to Run, the entire building is standing up. They were into it. This crowd, I mean, you know, the whole Bruce is in concert with the audience. You know, they need the audience to bring the noise, as he said in 2009. And they really brought it tonight, and I was amazed just how much the audience sang along to Ghost. I think that shocked the hell out of me.
I also could not believe how big the response was to Ghost. I was personally waiting since the day we heard that song for the first time to see it live, and it was so great. And to hear the crowd response, I'm really blown away. And after all these years, to say that, to see what took place tonight. It was really one of my favorite shows of all time. Now, differentiate between favorite and best. I am not saying it was one of the best shows I've ever seen, although it was an incredibly high quality show. But one of the favorite shows I've seen, because we were all there, such a large group of us, all of our friends, some, as you pointed out, not with us anymore. And just to have all of that come into place, and when they took the stage, and I really, really enjoyed it. And we're going to break everything down in a new episode that will take a broader look at the set list and go through a lot more in detail at all this stuff. But we wanted to get on tonight and have our initial reactions. And just A-plus for Bruce. I mean, there's...
Yeah, he brought it. They were ready. You and I had talked about the fact that it didn't seem like they had been doing a lot of rehearsing. Even with whatever rehearsing they did in Trenton, which wasn't widely known. And then we heard they did a couple shows, a couple run-throughs here in Tampa at the arena. And even that, I was just like, I don't know if they're going to be ready, but they were.
Well, I think it was like we talked about in the show we did previewing the tour. It seemed like he had a plan. and he was ready to execute the plan. And what they did was they just kept playing that show over and over because it was very similar to the rehearsal notes we heard from the Vogel. And they were just on. It really was amazing. And the expanded band, what was interesting was when they took the stage, it was just the core E Street Band. And what's the gentleman's name from Steve? Anthony Almonte, I think it is.
I don't know.
I apologize
exactly
if I got that wrong. We're going to have to clear this up when we have... We're doing this show a lot different than we normally do it. We normally record the show. We edit the show. This is the first time we're doing one live to tape. So if you're listening to us for the first time, no, this is not our usual show. And go back and listen to some of the other episodes, which are going to be a hell of a lot more polished.
Yeah, we usually have our computers in front of us with connected to the web, looking up set lists, looking up band lineups, And yeah, there are three people on that stage who I did not recognize.
Yeah, one of the backup singers. And I didn't catch who Bruce, what her name was when Bruce introduced the band.
I didn't catch it either. And I didn't catch the guy on trombone all the way to the left. Unfortunately, Clark Gayton wasn't able to join the tour this time around. But
Ozzy Melendez, I think he said. We're going to get every, and this is going to be reported on the net. You don't need it from us right at this second. The band was very large, as we discussed. I think it was 20 people. And it was interesting how he utilized them, as I was just saying, because he didn't have everyone on the stage when they first entered the stage to start the show. And then it appeared to me, I think the singers showed up around Promised Land.
Yes.
And then the horns came a little bit later. Was it Kitty's Back?
Yes, right before Kitty's Back. Yeah, I would like to. We should point out, though, that the percussionist did come out at the start of the show. He was there with the rest of the what we would call the core band at this point. And speaking of the percussionist, whose name we don't know, and Curtis King, I mean, we got a couple of guys who are like the gun show is here. I don't know who has bigger biceps, but that was fun to watch too.
There are some people on that stage who are in really great shape, including the lead singer and lead guitarist, because how is he doing it? How is this possible after all this time, 50 years after Greetings? And I don't know. I'm just speechless. I really, what we saw tonight really knocked me out. And I really didn't, not that I didn't have expectations that the show would be good, because I really did think it was going to be good. And I really wanted to be here. And I know you really wanted to be here. But it was well beyond anything that I could have possibly expected. Now, as I say, we're going to get into the set list in a broader sense, probably in our next episode. But just generally, what did you think? What were some of the high points?
For me, Ghost. I feel like one of the later rehearsals that we read about did not have Ghost, and I was quite worried about that. And then we never heard about them doing Burning Train, which they did tonight. It opened the encores. I wasn't really wild about some of the backing vocals on that, but I thought it worked. It worked spectacularly.
I did not think it worked as well. There were two of the new songs. Letter to You certainly did not go over as well as Ghosts. And I thought Burning Train was a little weird to open the encores. When Born to Run started right out of it, it seemed like the crowd was knocked a little off kilter. Did you sense that, like, it took a little bit of time for the crowd to realize it was Born to Run?
Actually, I think it even took me a couple seconds to realize it was Born to Run.
Yeah, it was a little bit weird. And we've seen, we talked about the Rising opening night, which went way off the rails. This was the furthest thing from that. There were some mistakes. I did see Bruce go over to Max at the end of House of 1,000 Guitars, and he said that was my fault. So there was something in there. And it did seem they were a little off towards the end. As we had discussed in the last episode, the House of 1,000 Guitars Backstreet pairing, even though it was not seamless, there was a brief pause in between. Oh, my God, that was monumental.
And then Backstreet's into Because the Night, right?
Yeah, and Because the Night was great. For all the talk
that... Yes, I know. I agree. It was a song that, you know, I heard a lot on the last tour because he played it every night. And I was ready for him to give Nils a different spotlight song. But I got to say, I was into it tonight. And one of the things I do want to point out again about some of the songs, they were pretty concise. Yes. I got the feeling that, in terms of Because the Night, Nils' solo did not go on nearly as long as it did 6 years ago.
No, it was really well done. I thought Nils was great on that. The entire band, they really showed something tonight. And for the people who are going to be seeing shows over the coming weeks and probably for the next 18 months, this is really something to look forward to. you just never know. Even at the start of 2016, I thought that Bruce seemed a little off at the start of the River Tour, and it took them a little time to get into it. They were just ready to go tonight, and I think the crowd loved it. I think the band loved it. Bruce was beaming at the end, and he really, when he finished "I'll See You in My Dreams" and he took the triumphant steps off the stage, I think he went back to his hotel, or maybe he's going home to Jersey, I don't know. But wherever he is right now, I think he is really pleased with what happened at Amalie Arena tonight.
Well, I think he should be. They came out, they hadn't been on the road, as you like to say, 6 years, and it seemed like they really didn't miss much of a beat.
That was a point, I think, that we had made a little bit in the rehearsal show, that even for us, that we felt that everything would feel fresh because of the gap since they last played. And that really was the case. I thought all of the songs, and we're not people who get down on stuff. We like the shows. We want to be there. We enjoy the shows. But there are certain songs I think we'd sometimes rather not hear. But, you know, "Out in the Street Tonight" was electric.
Yes,
and,
it was.
And "The Rising," which is not a song I think that falls into that category. "The Rising" is a very, very important song, not only in the catalog, but also as he's constructed this set. When he was singing "The Dream of Lifelines," and that had followed "Wrecking Ball," which also ties into the theme, and I think speaks very heavily to where he sees himself at the moment.
Yeah.
As I say, I think he had a plan and he just executed it beautifully.
Yes, absolutely. I was wrong. There was no extra string instrument musician on stage. I didn't see one. Did you?
No, that's true.
And you had heard the same thing.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah. So, that's true.
So I guess those whispers were incorrect. And but I didn't miss her. Didn't miss him or her, whatever gender they were going to be. And the rest of the band, they were fine. They're fun to watch. The backup singers on some of the songs, "Dancing in the Dark" particularly, I felt like they were kind of doing the Carlton, you know.
Yes.
which you know, famously called the actor Alfonso Ribeiro, I think I'm saying his name right, copied from Bruce's "Dancing in the Dark" video, and they were doing that at the start of the song of dancing, and it was fun to watch, and it's going to be. It's going to be fun to watch over the course of the next 18, whatever, how many months they're going to be on the road.
And important to note, no dancers on stage for dancing from the audience. Clearly, there's not going to be a lot of audience contact. Now, there is an extension from the center of the stage that allows Bruce to come out, like the one that was there in 2016. He did come out quite a bit. But other than the Born to Run strumming, which is brief, he really did not have any contact with an audience member.
No, and that's fine. I actually like the fact that, going back to what I said about a lot of the songs being more concise than they were 6 years ago, was "Dancing in the Dark." Because of that, we didn't have 8 minutes of Bruce pulling six people on stage and dancing for 5 minutes. It was. They played the song. I don't know how long each song was, but it was the perfect length.
Ready for a head-bangingly good time? Dive into the world of heavy metal with the Brutally Delicious podcast. Here, we don't just talk music, we welcome you into our heavy metal family. Join us for candid chats with legends and rising stars. We go beyond the typical interviews, exploring raw emotions and the life-altering impact of heavy metal. So whether you're a diehard metalhead or just curious, join our family and let the headbanging begin with the Brutally Delicious podcast.
Bowie, Dylan, Marley. You've heard the names and maybe you've heard their songs, but what about the stories behind the records that made titans of music like these so universally loved and important? Join me, Josh Adam Myers, host of The 500, as each week I go through a different album from Rolling Stone magazine's 500 Greatest Albums list from 2012 with an incredible lineup of comedians, actors, and musicians talking about how the music has impacted their lives. New episodes of The 500 come out every Wednesday. Listen now wherever you get your podcasts.
And for those of you who are wondering, it just seems very, very unlikely that at any point on this tour there will be any children on stage for Sunny Day. maybe the song will be played, and I think it will be quite different without the child participation. But that appears to be a thing of the past. And we heard that they are being very protective. The band members are not going to be interacting with a lot of random people. So that is something that's going to be different this year. And as you say, it does make the show more compact because you're right, dancing, it got a little ridiculous in 2016. Even though some people we know wound up on stage, and that's very cool, but the song doesn't need to be 8.5 minutes.
No, not at all. And I think Wrecking Ball was another song tonight where he kept it pretty concise, compact, focused. I think that would be a good word for this. And there was definitely some times I'm sure he's going to bloat some things out, like Badlands down the street. I'm sure we'll end up getting another false ending or two. But for the time being, it was everything was pretty much hitting the perfect notes.
Yeah, I thought Badlands was like a steamroller tonight. I mean, it was... Wow.
Everything that was we might have been kind of jaded by 6 years ago, 10 years ago, we were not tonight. Everything sounded great.
Yeah, and we really, in all honesty, we don't get jaded that much. I mean, I do. You do.
I do.
I really love being there. And there have been times where I go, okay, I've seen enough for a little while, and I drop off and I don't see as many shows. But the shows that I attend, I really try to be in the moment and enjoy them. And that was the thing tonight. I loved the show. Every second from the moment they came on stage, I felt so good. I felt so engaged. Everyone around me felt the same way, I think. The smiles on people's faces. You know, and at the end of the night, what else is there to ask for? That's what rock and roll does. And I think I used the words life-affirming earlier in the episode. That's what it was. I mean, we were all glad to be alive tonight. Yeah. You know, and that's what the theme of the show, I think, is.
Yeah, familiar faces around us. Yeah. And that's how it felt good that way. We, as Hal said, we stood with a lot of friends that we really hadn't seen at shows in years. And it was great to see them. It was great to be around them. Some friends also... You know, we're good friends with Holly, and so we thought about her quite a bit tonight. Yeah, and I was present all night. I was focused on the show. A lot of times in the past, I have wandered away mentally, but tonight I was right there the whole time.
I just watched Almost Famous about a week ago, and it makes me think so much of It's All Happening from that movie. And when we get together with our friends, it really... The experience that Cameron Crowe described when he was a teen in that movie really is still a large part of our lives. You just mentioned we didn't see certain people for years in between shows. And it was like we picked up and it was like things never stopped. And it was like Bruce never stopped. And that's why we go again and again to experience that and to feel that passion. And I just... Right now, I'm feeling really, really good.
I'm going to use one more word.
Yeah.
Cathartic.
Yeah.
I think tonight was a very cathartic show.
And I think for Bruce as well.
I'm sure it was. I had some, without going into detail, I had some not so good times over the last 3 or 4 years. And it felt good to be there. There was times over the last 4 or 5 years when I didn't think I'd see them again. Because of the pandemic. And who knew what was going to be. Who was going to be standing when the pandemic ended, and to be there and to know that these guys are still playing and playing well and being there with them in concert was cathartic.
It really was. And I just want to take a moment to tell everyone about our new Patreon page. If you're already a listener to our show and love it, nothing is going to change. It will be on your favorite podcast platform twice a month, just like it always is. And if you want more content from us, we're doing what we think is a lot of fun extras for the tour, including we're going to be doing some live streams where we take questions from the audience probably once a month. And if you want, go and check it out at patreon.com/NBTB podcast. Now, getting back to tonight before we wrap things up, did you have a favorite moment of the show?
Ghost.
Okay. I have to say Ghost was one of my favorite moments, but really his performance of Last Man Standing, and I don't know if we mentioned this, Last Man Standing was solo acoustic.
Yes.
And it was note perfect. And it caught me by surprise. I think some of the rehearsal set lists we saw had Darlington coming after Johnny 99, right?
I believe so.
And that Darlington was left out entirely. And we probably didn't see Last Man Standing on a rehearsal list because, like we speculated with I'll See You in My Dreams, the songs he's doing solo acoustic don't need to be rehearsed when the band is there.
Exactly. And he told a nice story before the song. It sounded exactly like something he would have done on Broadway.
Yeah.
And actually, I was kind of, I don't say, it was too much like it was on Broadway. Like, it didn't feel like he was talking to us. He was talking at us during that portion. That was my feeling I got.
I didn't feel that as much. I found it to be very emotional. I think the entire set was constructed, as we were saying, to be very emotional. And one other thing, he never mentioned the pandemic, but yet it was there.
Interesting. Okay.
You don't think it was a current running through the entire set list? About the passion for living and being the last man standing and no. I'll See You in My Dreams. I just felt like even though it was never mentioned, it was there.
Well, for me, that was the chorus or the refrain of Ghost. I'm alive and I'm out here on my own. I was going to be disappointed if I couldn't yell that at the show tonight.
And the show opened with No Surrender, which again is not a comment on the pandemic, and it really fits well. We busted out of class. We learned more from a 3-minute record than we ever learned in school. That fits with the rest of the theme, the idea of growing up as a rock star from 15 years old, which George Thies, to standing on that stage tonight. No Surrender makes perfect sense as the opener for that set of songs, but also coming out of the pandemic, no retreat, no surrender. You can't ignore that either.
Not at all. And it was a perfect song. I think some of the earlier set lists, rehearsal set lists that we saw opened with Ghost. And while we would have loved that, I think the show was much better opening with No Surrender.
All right, so let's wrap it up just to let everyone know what we're going to be doing. We're going to do a short episode next week, which will be on Patreon, but open to everyone, not just subscribers. And then we'll be back in probably about 10 days or so with an episode on Evergreen that will be on Apple Podcasts, Google, anywhere you get your podcasts. And we just, one last thing, several people came up to us tonight at the show and were talking about listening to the podcast and how much they were enjoying it. And that really meant a lot to us. If you were one of those people and you're listening, we really appreciated that.
Yeah, it was, so good to hear just the fact that we're, we've been talking about Bruce for, literally 25 years, right, Hal?
Yeah.
You and I. And so the fact that we just said, well, let's hit record, and now people really appreciate hearing us talk about Bruce. It's a very special feeling.
Yeah. Really it is. So here's our end spiel. None But the Brave is a presentation of Evergreen Podcast. It's produced by Bull Market Entertainment. If you want to find us on Twitter, we're at NBTB Podcast. As I said, our new Patreon is patreon.com/MBTB podcast.
So for Hal Schwartz, I'm Flynn McClain saying thanks for listening and we'll see you further on up the road.
Ready for a head-bangingly good time? Dive into the world of heavy metal with the Brutally Delicious Podcast. Here, we don't just talk music. We welcome you into our heavy metal family. Join us for candid chats with legends and rising stars. We go beyond the typical interviews, exploring raw emotions and the life-altering impact of heavy metal. So whether you're a diehard metalhead or just curious, join our family and let the headbanging begin with the Brutally Delicious Podcast.